Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Lise Benin, she is the publisher of the quarterly newsletter, The Art of Self-Promotion, and the author of two outstanding marketing books. One is called Making Marketing Manageable, A Painless and Practical Guide to Self-Promotion, and another one called 133 Tips for Promoting Yourself and Your Business. Welcome back to the show, Elise.
Thank you, Jim.
It's always good to have you back with us. Also, folks, Elise is a national speaker. She talks to groups about the secrets of self-promotion, how to market your services without being a pest. I like that one. Mm-hmm. And simple marketing tips to generate word of mouth and no-nonsense marketing. And she's delivered these messages to audiences all over the country. And Elise, what I want to do, one of the things I'd like to do today, I'd like to give a couple of members of the audience an opportunity to get a free copy of one of your books. And so I'm going to give them a trivia question here in a second. And when they call in and answer the trivia question, you have been nice enough to make these available, and we'll send them to them. Here they are, folks. Tell me what these people, some of these are hard, some of these are easy. And tell me what these people did for a living, what they're known for. These are all birthdays. William Wordsworth, tell me what he did. W.K. Kellogg. Walter Winchell. Percy Faith. And Billie Holiday. Some of them are easy. Some of them are maybe not so easy. We'll just see whether you want to take the hard ones or not. 888-822-8255. Call me and tell us what those people did for a living, what they do for a living, and we will send you a copy of one of Elise's books. Oh, here's a couple of trivia questions. Here's one trivia question that I wanted to bring up. Some of the dates on these trivia questions that I get amaze me. If I said to you that on this day, Elise, mm-hmm. using telephone lines, TV is sent from Washington, D.C. to New York City. A television signal is sent from D.C. to New York City over telephone lines. If I said that happened on this day, what year would you tell me that would happen? This is the first time that ever happened. What year would you say? Take a guess.
57.
You know what? That's not a bad guess. I might have said 10 years earlier. That would have been, and that's just because I'm a lot older than you are. I remember some of those days. But I might have said 10 years earlier, but guess what the year was? 1927.
Wow.
TV was sent over phone lines. Some of these dates amaze me. I mean, who knew that people were doing these things in 1927? I sure didn't. Anyway, Elise, one of the things that we want to talk about today is how to promote yourself. That's what you specialize in. And one of the things I know you've got on your mind is marketing, and you've written an article about that, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the latest issue of my newsletter has the theme of structure, because I really believe that marketing is all about creating structures through which you can market your business. Because most people market in a very haphazard way. They'll send out a mailing because they have something coming up and it's kind of late, but they do it anyway. And there's no follow-up to it, and there's no consistency, and there's no plan, basically.
I like using that word when we're talking about marketing, developing a marketing plan for our business. The concept of structure,
mm-hmm.
that's a good idea.
Right, and it's necessary because when you work for a corporation, the structure is inherent in the corporation. You just walk in and fit
right.
into the structure.
Right.
But when you have your own business, you have to create the structure or not.
Well, and it's even worse than that because even when you create the structure, if you work for a large company, and I have, and you probably have too, Elise. When you work for a large company, when you develop a structure, you assign assets to that structure. You assign people, you give it a budget, there's actually an office somewhere where all that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and people show up, and that's their job, is to keep that structure supported and to put meat on the bones, so to speak, of that project. But it's not the same way in small business, is it?
You can't always assign
those assets. Maybe you are the asset that's assigned to that, and maybe there's no budget.
Right, or you come up with something that works, that comes from you as the person who's running the business. Because
right.
in a corporation, when it's assigned to you, it doesn't necessarily have to fit with the way you work.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then it's hard to work within that structure. But that's why, as a business owner, you have an opportunity to create your own structure. But the thing is that it takes a lot of time and a lot of thought, and people are so busy today that it seems like a waste of time sometimes because you don't see the results right away of the structure that you implement.
And you've really got to be creative as a small business person in developing the structure, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
I mean, what I'm getting at is if you have ever worked for another company, as you said, you know, you've got all this support around you,
mm-hmm.
and all this previously developed structure, but in your small business, the structure that you're going to have has got to be able to withstand all of the onslaught of problems, the phones ringing. You've got to wear six hats in a 1 hour period,
mm-hmm.
and
well,
so that structure's got to be able to withstand that, doesn't it?
Right. Well, but on the other side, the structure is what helps you withstand it.
Yeah.
And maybe we should be a little bit more specific because
okay.
it's easy to throw this word around without saying, you know, what it really refers to. And the kinds of things I'm thinking of besides the basic one, which is some kind of marketing plan, are really small things like forms that you, even if it's your own business and you're the only one there, have to fill out when someone calls inquiring about your business and asking for more information.
It's a good idea.
And if you have a form, then you don't forget in this onslaught that you're talking about to ask certain questions that you need to know the answers to for your continued marketing, like how did you hear about it?
And it's right there beside the phone ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know you've got some more of those. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk some more about developing structure to make sure that you get your marketing done in your company so you can be successful. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Elise Benin is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to check that out, folks, please. And also, our phone number on the show is 888-822-8255. That's the number to call if you would like to ask me or our special guest this hour, Elise Benin, a question about your small business, especially if you've got a marketing question, something you're concerned about. It could be advertising. It could be marketing. It could be salesmanship. I think Elise could help us with any of those. And or just any question. If you've got any question at all, just give us a call, 888-822-8255. And I would like, Elise, for you to give us your website.
It's www.artofselfpromotion.com, and that's all one word.
All one word, no dashes, dots, or periods, right?
Right.
All right. When we took a break, Elise, we were talking about structure, folks, in your marketing plan, how to develop a structure so that you can make sure that you are as effective as possible with your marketing plan, and you were talking about some forms that we need to help us with the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, what was the first document that you mentioned again?
An inquiry form.
Inquiry form, that's right.
But I think besides forms that take information, what's really important is to have what I call boilerplate text for things that you have to do on a regular basis that make you appear to be and make you be actually more professional in the way you run your business.
Right.
Such as a proposal or outline of a project, such as a confirmation of an assignment or a contract that someone has to fill out before mm-hmm. you start the process of working together, some kind of cancellation policy or kill fee schedule. Something that says, you know, I am a professional business, and if you would like to work with me, then here's the process.
So if someone does business with you, someone makes an inquiry, or it sounds like they may be about to do business with you on whatever level and for whatever project or product or service they offer, you've got something to pull out. They say, and you say something like, well, let me get my proposal form out here, or my proposal, give it a name or something, and you know, let me start taking some information down. And it looks like you're already ready for them. It's not like you have to reinvent the wheel just for this one transaction.
Exactly.
Good point. I like that.
I think also having talking points or scripts
mm-hmm.
is important because often when we make follow-up calls, the thing that stops us is that we don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the questions that people have been asking me all the time lately, and maybe it would be useful to answer it for people today on the radio, is how do you get through voicemail? Because it seems like people get stuck and can't get to the person that they're trying to reach.
Yeah.
And one of the ways is to have a script for the message that you're going to leave, and to assume that you're going to leave a message that you may not get through. And
well, you have to assume that these days, don't you?
Definitely. But I think one thing that can motivate your prospects to call you back or return the call is to let them know when they can reach your voicemail back.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they feel bad about the fact that they're not calling you back in the first place.
Right.
And they don't want to necessarily talk to you. But they can respond by email or voicemail, at least to give you the information that you're looking for.
Elise, I want to back up just for a minute.
All right.
And go back to the boilerplates and the forms, the documents that you talked about a minute ago.
Okay.
There's one more thing I wanted to propose to you and get you to comment on. One of the reasons I like that is because I see that as another opportunity to train your employees.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I both know that when in your business, you want things said and done a certain way. You believe if you're the boss, it's probably because you've done whatever you're doing more than anybody in your organization, and you have in your mind what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could answer the phone or talk to all the customers all the time, it would be done exactly the way you want to do it. Now, but we all know that when we have employees,
right,
that doesn't always happen.
That's true.
And so if you give them a little bit of a track to run on, which is what this document provides, it's not like you're trying to make them a clone of you. Let them say it maybe in their own words, but at least they've got something, call it a cheat sheet, whatever it is you want to call it. They've got something in front of them to make sure that they don't forget to mention, well, did you know that we do these other things?
Mm-hmm.
Or how about this? How about just to not forget to say, thank you for calling us?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
I think you really need to take advantage of this, folks. This is a good opportunity. This structure that Lisa's talking about is also a good way to train your employees. 29 after the hour, we're going to take a break. Elise, stand by. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, heroes. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And our special guest is Elise Benin. She is the author of 133 Tips to Promote Yourself and Your Business, and also a painless and practical guide to self-promotion. She also is the author and the owner of an outstanding newsletter called The Art of Self-Promotion. And Elise, would you give us your 800 number, please?
Yes, 1-800-737-0783.
And if somebody wanted to order your newsletter, that's how they would do it?
They can call me up, and I will fax them some information or send it, or they can go to the website, which is www.artofselfpromotion.com.
All right. Thank you, Elise.
You're
folks, I recommend you check that out. This newsletter is outstanding. And thank you for mine, by the way, Elise, that I get. Elise, one of the things that I think happens in small business sometimes, I think a lot of marketing gets done, but it's sort of done accidentally or after a fashion, and there never is really a plan put together. And one of the things that I like about your concept of structure is to help people to develop a plan, and that's where I wanted to go next. And what I want to do now is let's just help our audience develop a really simple marketing plan that will help them develop a marketing structure. And I know what's going to happen. Some people are going to say, well, I'm already doing that. And what they didn't realize, some of the stuff, they didn't even realize that was part of their marketing.
Mm.
And so what I want you to do, folks, is develop a really simple plan. It doesn't have to be sophisticated, does it?
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. All right.
Here's an idea.
Get started.
Okay. Your marketing plan should have 3 marketing tools in it. And something for you to do at least once a week. And those 3 tools could be networking, which is like attending meetings or events.
Mm-hmm.
It should have some kind of mailing, and it should have some kind of phone calls. So So, for example, you could say, all right, in my marketing plan, I'm going to go to one or two or three meetings a month, whatever fits into your schedule.
And that could be to a civic organization that you're a member of?
That or a workshop where maybe your prospects are going to be trying to learn about something that has to do with your business.
Some chamber function?
Mm-hmm. Or even something that isn't directly business-related, like volunteering.
Right. Because you never know. You never know when where an opportunity is going to be. Okay.
And those opportunities are usually best because people's defenses are down. They're not expecting like they do at a business card exchange.
Right.
You know, for someone to be marketing to them.
Right. That you could cut the salesmanship with a knife in those places.
Exactly. So what the first element in your plan is that you're going to do regular networking once, twice, or three times a month.
Yeah.
The second element in your plan is that you're going to send out something, and I really suggest a postcard campaign.
Yep.
Because it's simple, and it's simple for people to receive also and get the message quickly without having to open any envelope or read anything. So if you sent out a postcard every month or every 2 months or at the very least every 3 months, then that would be your regular mailing.
You know, I've got some thoughts on that, Elise. I want to see what you think about it.
Okay.
One of the things, let's say that you've got a business that, you know, you've got a retail business or a service company or something like that, and let's say you've got 500 people on a list that either you've acquired the list or maybe these are just the people that you've done business with. Maybe there's 1,000. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the number is, you've got all these names and numbers, and these are people who have been in your business at some point in time probably, or maybe they've just called, and you were able to collect the information on the form that you mentioned in the last segment.
Mm-hmm.
Of this. Now, one of the mistakes that I think small business owners make is they think that they've got to do all of those at one time. Okay, I'm going to do what Jim and Elise says. I'm going to send out a postcard. Sarah, get that list out and go through it. And do labels, and let's put this postcard out, and then here's what happens. Sarah says, "Boss, I haven't been able to do that because we've had all this other stuff going on. I couldn't get that 1,000 mailer out because I had all this other stuff going on." Or she might say, "We don't have it in the budget for all that postage this week," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my suggestion: do 50. Every week is part of your structure, at least. Do 50 this week. What do you think?
It's great.
Well, here's another reason why you'd want to do that. What if they all call back? Think about that. I've seen that happen before. I've seen people send out such a successful mailing, but they send out so many, they literally ruined their project because they couldn't take care of the response.
Right. Well, and sometimes what I see is that people stop themselves because they imagine that there's going to be a flood of response,
yep.
and they know they can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't do the mailing in the first place.
Right. Yeah, that's backwards, isn't it?
Right.
So
I do like the idea of a certain small number every week more frequently, or a bigger number less frequently.
Yeah.
Whatever fits into, you know, what you personally can do.
Mm-hmm. Set aside a little bit of time. Let that be one project. Okay, on Tuesday. And I'm not going to lunch on Tuesday. I'm going to stay here every Tuesday and send out 50 mailers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Stand by, Elise. We're going to take a break, folks. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking with Elise Benin about structure, marketing structure. It's very important stuff, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Elise Benin is our special guest. And we've been talking about structure, how to develop structure in your marketing program so that you can make sure that you get started and that you continue your marketing program in a sensible way and that you make sure you get to the end, which is to make the sale. Elise, one of the last things you talked about in some of the things that you need to do on a regular basis, we just got through talking about networking and mailing.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is what you call follow-up calls.
Right.
When you receive, we've done our mailing or we've done our networking, we've actually got people, we're sort of like the dog who chased the car. Now that we've caught it, what do we do with it? And
right.
Here they are, they're on the phone.
That's where people fall down the most, I think, is after they send out the information that people called for. They neglect to follow up
because
they assume, well, if they're interested, they'll call me back. And that's usually not the case because people have so much else going on that sometimes they forget they were interested or it's not their top priority. So it's your responsibility as the business owner to make a follow-up phone call. And I suggest that those calls be made 10 days to 2 weeks after information is sent out.
Elise, tell our audience what the typical response is to a mailer. If we send out 100 cards or letters, how many people typically, historically, across the country, when people do this, what do they expect to get back?
Two.
Say that again. Say it louder.
You can expect to get a response from two people out of 100.
Out of 100.
And that's good.
And folks, if four call you, you knocked it out of the park.
That's
a home
right.
run. But maybe one. Now that blows people away when you say that. I wanted people to hear that.
Yeah.
Because the people who when you get junk mail, folks, in the mail, then that the people who sent you that are expecting one, two, or three, or four out of 100 to make some kind of response.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be disappointed. And that's the reason why, isn't it, Elise, that you've got to follow up with a phone call.
Exactly. And the thought I just had is that maybe what stops people from doing those follow-up phone calls is that they're so disappointed by what they consider to be their lack of response.
Right. And if because they didn't realize that they were only going to get two.
Right.
To start out with. Yeah.
Right. But it is so important because the people who actually take the time to pick up the phone are qualified and really valuable leads that if you don't pursue them, you will lose the investment that you've already made into them.
But one of the things you got to know, Elise, is when you do follow-up calls, if you're not doing it, even if you're doing it yourself or if your employees are doing it, you've got to have your cornflakes together when you make that call. You can't just stutter around and bumble around on the phone, can you?
That's why it's important to have talking points or some kind of script.
Exactly.
To follow.
Like we were talking about earlier, something
exactly.
these the documents in front of you to make sure that. And some employees might need you to write it out for them. Some of them might only need a bullet just to get them started. It depends on their capability, doesn't it?
Right. So, but then what happens when you make the follow-up call often is that people will have put the information in a pile somewhere and not looked at it yet.
Yeah.
So you, again, have to prevent yourself from getting disappointed about the fact that they're not quite ready and not take that as a no.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point you can ask them when they think they will be ready to, you know, continue the conversation.
What do you think about, all right, now, are we calling businesses or are we calling homes?
I guess when I talk about it, I'm thinking more about business to business.
Yeah.
But the same goes for consumers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other issues and sensitivity issues, I think, to take into consideration when you're calling people at their homes.
Right.
Like when you call and what you say and how you make sure that they have the time to listen to you.
Right.
Or talk to you.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like to receive or make calls to homes. That's a real sensitive issue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Elise, I've really gotten a lot out of our conversation on market structure. And I'd like to leave that just for a little bit because you've got some other things that I want to make sure we get across today and talk about to help people promote themselves. One of the things that you have in your newsletter is a list of 7 basic rules of the office, some ways to help you. Talk to us about that.
Well, this was written by one of my subscribers, a freelance copywriter named Jim Magruder. And I really liked it because this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. These are the things that if you worked for a corporation would basically be in place. But if you don't, then you have to create them for yourself.
Right, the structure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Let me just highlight a couple of them that I think are really important.
Let's start with the first one. I like the first one.
Rise early and start fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you want to get a lot done, you have to get up early and do things before the phone starts ringing.
You've heard it all your life. The early bird gets the worm.
Exactly. And I think that's the time when you can organize your day and make the list of the things that you want to get accomplished that day, and it gets you into the workflow, basically.
No question about it.
Right.
All right, number two.
Number two is never let fear get in the way.
I want to talk about that when we come back. Folks, we're going to take a break. It's 50 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about never letting fear get in the way. And we all know that in small business, there's plenty of fear. We're going to talk about how to get that out of your way when we come back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Elise Benin is our special guest. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our special guest is Elise Benin. And Elise, I'd like for you to tell our audience your website again, please.
Okay, it's www.artofselfpromotion.com, and that's all one word.
And when you go there, you can find out about her newsletter, which is called?
The Art of Self-Promotion.
All right, and also her two of the books that I know of. One of them is called Toot Your Own Horn, 133 Tips to Promote Yourself and Your Business, and the other one is A Painless and Practical Guide to Self-Promotion. And all of these are written by Elise Benin, and I recommend you check that out, folks. Elise, we've been talking about marketing structure, and one of the things that we want to wrap up with is we want to finish the seven steps, the seven basic rules of the office, which are part of having structure in your day so that you can be successful. And we just got through talking about the first two, which is rise and shine early and get started fast. Also, never let fear get in the way. We hadn't finished on that one. What do you mean by that?
Well, the point is simply that when people call and ask you to do something that you haven't really quite done before, that is an opportunity to say yes and stretch yourself, basically.
Remember the commercial where the guy says, you know, St. Louis on Friday, I can do that. San Francisco on Thursday, I can do that. And then he hangs up and he says, how am I going to do that?
Right.
I've done that.
And you figure out a way.
I've done that. I really have. You know, you're exactly right. I've taken the business. I mean, obviously, you know, if they didn't want brain surgery, I'm not a brain surgeon, but
right.
But it was something that I'd maybe, just because I'd never done it before, if I had an idea about it. Let me tell you another thing. Sometimes people just want you to get the job done. They don't necessarily mean that you have to do all of it.
True.
You might want to align yourself with someone.
Well, the other point is that when people call asking you for something that you don't necessarily offer, that is a message from your market saying maybe you should offer this.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. No question about it. Let's move over to one of the other points. And by the way, folks, these are points that have been submitted, contributed to Elise's newsletter by Jim Magruder. I want to make sure we mention that again.
Yeah.
One of the things that he mentions in here, number five, is always start with a concrete commitment.
Mm-hmm. It's really easy to be unclear, especially with a new prospect or customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that when a deal is made, it needs to be put on paper in some way so that everyone understands the terms. And it's good to have a generic boilerplate text for that confirmation of the terms, that you can just fill in the blanks and send it off and have them okay it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you know for sure that they're willing to work with you under the terms that you've agreed to.
Right.
It's just, you know, you end up paying for it much later if you don't mention certain things like money and time.
Right. One of the things, number seven, that is so important, and it's incredible to me that we have to mention it, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, thank your clients for every assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it incredible that we even think we need to talk about that?
But again, we get caught up in what we're doing, and maybe we assume that they were or were not happy with the job that we did because we don't hear from them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And sometimes a lot of clients call me and they tell me that they're afraid to follow up with a thank you because they don't want to hear, well, it wasn't really what I expected.
Yeah, no, you got to know that, and that's part of the fear that you got to get rid of, isn't
right.
it? At least we got to wrap it up. Thank you very much. Once again, you've done a great job for us today, and we appreciate it. We'll have you back again real soon.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Elise Benin, ladies and gentlemen. All right, folks, we got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words: if it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and this program is for you. Wally Bach is asking us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.